Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Nandalat Amadet, but the Mishnah, Mekish Bekarsula, if when he walks, his ankles bump against each other, bang against each other, Uvit Arkivotav, or that his, what is his legs or his knees bang together, Ubal, here are different girsos, whether it's Pikin, Pika, Vayikel, which the Mishnah will explain in momentarily, Ezuyikel, Kol, Shemekib Parsivotav, Kel is someone who, when he places his feet together, the ain arkibotav no kshot zuluzu. His, again, either his legs or his knees are unable to touch each other. The bones are bowed out to the point where even when he puts his feet together, his knees are unable to reach together. We have the girsa in our mission as no kshot. The shita changes to noshkot from the word nishika, to kiss, unable to touch. Versus nokshot, which means to bang against each other, which was used earlier in the Mishnah, which is mekish v'karsovotav over arkivotav. So that's the definition of ikel. Now pika, here is machoket Rashi and the Rambam, what's the definition of the bala pikin is that we had before. Rashi simply reads it as the next line in the Mishnah, which is pika, yotzei migodo. That the extra, there's an extra growth or skin that comes out of his thumb. And that would be the Bala Pikin or Bala Pika that we mentioned earlier. The Rambam, on the other hand, reads this next line as the definition of what a Bala Pika is, a kivo yosei l'achorav, that his ankle, his heel, protrudes from the back, in that his foot is, the ankle and the heel are not at the end of his foot, but rather his leg meets the middle of his foot, and therefore he has an extension in the back. That his feet are flat and wide like that of a goose. His fingers or his toes that are overlapping somehow, they're on top of each other. And hands. Feet and hands. Because we just saw Ikel Shabigoldo, which was his thumb. In the Torah, the mumim of the regel and the yad are together. It's Oshever Ragel, Oshever Yad. So those are together. So here the Mishnah is addressing both those which are in the hand and the foot. A lot of them are overlapping because things that deal with the digits are true of both the fingers and the toes. O utos, or their web, lamala az haperek kasher. Here lamala and lamat are always confusing. Here lamala means towards the hand until the middle joint. That's okay. Lamata min haperek, from the middle joint down to the end of the fingers. Vichakot, you cut them and then they release. Then it's kasher. Obviously, if you don't cut them, then they would be problematic. Haita ba yuteret v'chatka, if he has an extra digit, whether it's a finger or a toe, and then he cuts it off, they sever it, that would be fine if it has a bone in the digit that he removed, pasul. In lav, if not, then it's kasher. Whether that extra digit, toe or finger, is problematic depends on whether it had a bone in it or not. Yet there be a double of love, sheish, vishesh, etzrim ba'arba. There's an extra digit on both hands and on both feet. There's two extra fingers, two extra toes, but all balanced. There's now six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot for a total of 24. Rabbi Yehuda Makshir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. So main quotes, claims it's problematic. Let's see in the Gemara why that is. Shalei b'shtei yadav, someone is ambidextrous. Rabbi Putzel, it's problematic. Kamim. Machshirin, I mean, say it's fine. Right, Tan Rabbanan. The Torah says with regards to the mumim of the Kohen, Shever Rogel. In the other Shever Rogel, I only have a broken bone in the leg, Minayim Rabot. How do I know to include all these mumim mentioned in our Mishnah? Hakishan, Kishan being the first one, Mekish Rekartolotav over Argolotav. Haikel, which we saw above, was if you put his feet together, his knees do not reach together. Vahakilban, which Rashi says the Kilban is referring back to the Pika of our mission. Tamad Omar, O Shever Rogel. So O, the O there is extra, tells us to be Merabe, not only just the broken leg, but all mumim that relate to the leg. Tana, Baal HaPikin VeHashuknar. These are also mumim in the person. Amram Kirba, Amram Yochanan, Baal HaPikin Sheish Bo Kisatot Harbe. So the Bala Pikim that someone has, now Kisatot Arbe, there's a number of explanations of what it is. Kisatot either can refer to his ankles, that his ankles are extremely wide, the bone of his ankle is very, very wide. That's one possibility. Kisatot also could refer to his calf, his extremely wide calf. Or Tosfot brings from the Aruch, there's a lot of extra skin or flesh at the end of his foot, towards the front of his foot, there's a lot of extra flesh over there. Those are the three different possibilities of what this kisatot arpe is. Shufnar is just the opposite. Ein lo kisatot polikar. He doesn't have ankles, meaning that obviously there is an ankle there, but the ankle bone is not discernible. It doesn't protrude out of his leg. It looks like there's a straight line there. The calf as well. He doesn't have a rounded calf. It just goes straight down. And according to the aruch, that he has very little. He has no flesh at the beginning of his foot, at the start of his foot. Those are different, also additional mumim with the leg. We said that there was a growth out of his thumb, or which was that the leg did not reach the foot at the back end of the foot, but rather towards the middle. What's that case of his shoke comes out, the thigh, the leg sits in the middle of his foot. So that doesn't, it's not like what the normal foot would look like, where it's towards the heel, towards the back of the foot, but rather in the middle of the foot. Parts of Tav, Ruf Avot Kachelavad. It says his feet are as wide as that of a goose. Amra Papa, Lotema de Trefa. Don't say that they have to be thin. There are two features of a goose's foot. One is that it's very thin. And number two is that it's wet. That it's wide and wet. So the Ruf Papa says, Lotema de Trefa. It doesn't have to be that his foot is thin. Velostika, and it's also webbed. Even if it's just thin, wide and thin, and not webbed, that's enough to be considered a mum. So you don't need both features of the goose's foot. You don't have to be both webbed and thin. It's just that if the foot is very thin, thin and wide, like that of a goose, that's enough to make it problematic, even if you don't have that webbed aspect to it. The fingers are still split, or the toes are still split on it. If his fingers are overlapping or his toes are overlapping. So Tana Rabbanan, this is your question. Wait, I thought we were dealing with feet. How do we get the fingers? Tamromar Shiver Yad. And the Pasuk also says Shiver Yad. In the other Shiver Yad. That's only if I have a broken hand, arm. It's Vutav Murkavos. O Plutos Lamalo Minaterek. Vikatkan. If you have these other mumim in the hand, which is that the fingers are overlapping, or they are webbed, attached. Now here it says, the mala min aperek, above the perek. Now here in the braisa, the mala means the opposite of what it meant in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, la mala meant towards the hand. Over here, the mala means towards the end of the finger. So the mala min aperek means all the way from the joint towards the end of the finger. If a son, then he cuts them back. It says, wait a minute, Bahamar kasher. You said if you cut them, then they would be fine. Ella below katan, and he didn't cut them. Minayin. How do I know that those are problematic? I mean, not only is the broken hand or arm problematic, how do I know that these overlapping fingers, as well as the issue of the webbed hand, where they reach always the end of the fingers and not cut away? Namalomar, O Shever Yad. So the O again is a reboot. They have O Shever Egel and O Shever Yad. They're again juxtaposed in the pasuk. It's obvious that a lot of common denominators between the fingers and the toes, and therefore here the Gemara discusses them, or the Mishnah discusses them in the same context. Haita bo yeteret bekatfa. He had an extra limb and he cut it off. Imriyesh ba etzim, if it had a bone in it, patul, then it is a mum. Vimlad kasher, if not, it's just flesh, then it's fine. Amar Rav Rabbanan Rav Yochanan, v'yu, or he, shenitzperet agavayat. It's only if it's counted along with the other fingers of the hand, meaning that it was in line with the other fingers. If it's in line with the other fingers, then it is problematic when you cut it off. If it's within line with the fingers, we assume that it's supposed to be there, and taking it off is the removal of a limb. If it's out of line with the fingers, that's an extra growth, and if it's removed, then it's fine. It's not an eiver. It's not like considered to be a part of the eivarim. Teira, chased by etzim. You have the additional limb. But here we're talking about a digit, finger or toe, but it doesn't have a nail in it. It's considered to be a full-fledged aver, and it'll be metameh, and it adds up to the number of 125. Let's discuss each one of these. We want to determine if there's something as an extra aver. So we're going to have a qualification again by Rabbi Bar Kana Rav Yochanan Nisperet HaGavayat. It has to be counted in line with the other digits. So in order to be classified or considered a additional aver that is problematic, what's the qualification of an aver? So a number of things. One is that it has a bone, it has an etzim in it. Number two is that it has a siporen, that it has a nail. And number three is that it's in line with the other digits. all three of those together would make it into what we call a perfect additional Aver. If you are missing one of those, is it okay? So what we've had so far is this bright that tells us that it's missing the Tzipor, it's missing the nail, but it's in line with the other digits, plus it has a bone in it, that's enough to be classified as an Aver. Don't need it to have all those features. Even if it's missing the nail, it's good enough to be considered a digit, an additional digit. Now, the implications of it being an additional limb here is that it's going to be Matameh Aver. Now, an Aver, as long as it has Basar, an Aver has to have all three pieces to it, which means that the bone, has that flesh and skin on it. Now, the flesh, even if it doesn't equal up to a Kazayit, flesh by itself, if it is a Kazayit of a Mate, it's Matameh to make. So here you're talking about an Aver that has less than a Kazayit of Basar, otherwise you won't need it to be an Aver, because then it would be Matameh just because of Kazayit Basar, Minameh. So here you have a digit, this Etzem, this Aver, that has a bone in it. It does not have a nail. It's counted alongside the other digits, and it has flesh and skin on it, but less than a kazayit's worth. This is a complete aver. A complete aver is mitameh b'magav matar u'ba'ohel. It's one of the dinim of a complete aver. That would be the din of this digit over here. Will be that it's classified as a complete aver. An additional nafkamina, if you consider it an aver, is that a person has 248 limbs in his body. And the Mishnah, although, tells us that robe minyan and robe binyan, if you have the robe of the structure of the person, or the robe of the number of limbs in the person, that's also mitameh be'ohel. So if you need the robe of the structure here, olah the minyan kufav hey, it adds up to the 125 over here. Half of 248 is 124. To be the robe, you need 125. This limb will add towards that 125.
Did you read Amarabu Makanam of Yochanan?
Yes. Just the same qualification that we had before. He qualifies in his braita that they have to be along the line of the him. There was a Rabbeinu Gedolah Maro. Rashi says this refers to Rav. Rabbeinu Gershon says it refers to Rabbi. Hamakom yeh b'yadro, Shem should take care of him. Yeteret sheyesh ba'etzem. If you have a limb that actually has a bone in it, ve'im b'tziporin, does not have a nail. V'tameh b'magal matzah, ve'im v'tameh bohel. And it's not v'tameh bohel. So this is against the braita that we just said. Right, that we just said has, even if it's missing the nail, it's still Matameh be'ohel. Amar Rabbi Rukana Rabbi Yochanan, because she ain't in spirit of Gavayat. So Rabbi Rukana says that it's really not arguing on the Braita. It's a different situation. It's a situation where the Aver is out of line. The limb, this digit, is out of line with the fingers or the toes. Because of that, now you have two Kisronot in this Aver. Not only does it not have a nail, it's also not in line with the other digit. So all you have left is the fact that it's a bone. That's not enough to be classified as a full-fledged Aver. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a Sudriyam, is a great review.
The Shita has a Girsa of Rabbi Chanina, which makes some sense, because the statement before was between Amar Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan was one of the people modifying the Braita, or qualifying the Braita, to have him ask the question seems a little strange. We will follow the Girsa of the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but just note that the Shita thinks that the Girsa here should be Amar Rabbi Chanina.
Yochanan Avir says that they made their words, I mean, that statement that Rav is bringing either from Rav or Rabbi, that it's like they made it as if they were Nevi'im. They could say something, and we just accept it without any reason. Over here, he says, I don't understand the reason, I don't understand what they're doing, in terms of the explanation here. If it's Mitameh B'Magal Matzah, that says that it is an Aver. If it's not Mitameh B'Magal, it says it's not an Aver. That's what Yochanan's about to explain. What's interesting over here is the term is being used in a negative light. Which is Sudi Brahim Kizipnei views, meaning that as if they said something, but that they don't have to explain themselves. And here it's like a question or a negative expression. The other two places that's used in Shas, it's used in a positive term. Sudi Brahim Kizipnei views, meaning that even though we don't have the Nevi'im today, we have Chachamim that are like Nevi'im. Over here, it's clearly not used in that light. The Manav Shach, Rabbi Yochai says, E Aver Hu, Bo, Nami Shitameh. Considered an Aver, it should be Mitameh Bo. Why should it be Mitameh b'Magal Matzah? It's not an Aver. So I'm Ravuna Bar Manoach, Mishmei the Ravaka, Vrei the Ravika, Mishum Etzem Kitzeora Naguba. It's Mitameh b'Magal Matzah because a bone, the size of the Seora, is Mitameh b'Magal Matzah. So what we're dealing over here is a bone that is larger than the size of its Seora. This is larger than the size of Seora. It's Mitameh like a bone, which is Magal Matzah. Not Mitameh b'Magal, because it's not classified as an Aver. There's a classification of a bone, not a classification of an Aver. That's the first answer. Rav Papa Mark Zera, Shane and his spirits, Atu and his spirits. It's really Zera, there are bone on here. So even though it's not in line with the other digit, this finger or this toe is not in line with the others, and therefore it's not a neighbor at all. It would not be nevertheless, if a member goes there, here, where it's out of line, for the case where it is in line. Where it says, if and it is spiritual, oh, hell, not well, if that's the case, you want to make it a gzeira also, it should have the same dinim as what it would be if it was in line. If it was in line, it would be full-fledged aver, that would mean as maga, masa, and ohel. Why are you only being mitameh with maga, masa over here? Abdu Rabbanan hekeira. Rabbanan made it a heker, that's only a dinza Rabbanan, okay, because it will listen to allow you chumah kodashim. In order that they won't burn chumah kodashim on this, they'll know that's only a dinza Rabbanan. We heard earlier in the Masechta, we saw that with the Gabe Kli Keret. By the Machkim, that were Mitameh Kelim, they made a heker that's only a Dinder Rabbanan. So through here, they made a din heker that was a Dinder Rabbanan. So not how so. We have a Mishnah in Olos that says, Rove bin Yano, the Rove bin Yano shall make. If you have the robe of the structure of the person, the Rove bin Yano, or the robe of the number of limbs of the person, Apopich in Bo Rova Kav, even though it doesn't add up to Rova Kav, that's Batsamot. Rova Kav Batsamot is something that's Mitameh Bo'el. Even if you don't have Rova Kav, if you qualify for one of these two other things, Mitameh Bo'el. It would be Mitameh Bo'el. So, Tanrabanan is a Rov Binano. What's considered to be the role of the structure? Shnei Shokayim V'Yerach Akad. You need the two legs and a thigh in order to be the Rov Binano. Rov Binano meaning the height of the person. Majority of the height of the person is contained within their leg. So if you want to get some robes in Yano, you have to have these two legs and a thigh. Ho, the robe of ho, bigadol. The robe of the structure of the person, meaning that the robe of ho, bigadol, and a tall person, the height is determined by their leg, the length of their leg, and therefore the robe vignette comes from those bones.
Why do we need to make the time?
I think the robe also is defining the binyan part also. Maybe the robe is modifying both. Not only is it modifying the robe of its height, but the robe of those bones that constitute the height.
In the Tosefta, it says the bones that make up the binyan are shteshokayim, the rechayim, the tzalaot, the ribs, the shidra, and the spinal column. So the robe, these three bones constitute not only the robe of the height, but also the robe of the binyan of those bones that constitute the height of the individual.
Is no rov minyano. What's the rov minyan? Kuf kof hey. It's 125. Some of the minyano at the minyan. We know. He has to teach us that there are 125 is the rov of 248. We know there are 248 bones in a person. So why do you have to teach me that 125 is the rov? That's not to do that. If you classify it as an aver, we know that 125 is the rov. I don't need any more information. Come on, someone. Get it, Tanya. No, we need for the price of cluster shameful matayim. Someone who does not have a full 248 limbs, or rather 200. The yeser, or someone has more, is from a time of 81. It's 281. Klon olim the minyan kufafei. Still, the robe is determined by 125 of robe bnei adam. Zil batar ruba dinshe. We go at the robe of people, not after these individuals. How do you get to a count of 200 or 281? That is, we know there's 248. If a person is missing two digits on each extremity, meaning that two digits from each hand and two digits from each foot. So you're missing a total of four on the hand and a total of four on the leg. If eight, you're missing eight digits now. Eight digits, and each digit has six bones in it. Gemara says in other places that there are six bones. In each finger and each toe, there are six bones. Therefore, if I take eight times six, I have 48. An individual is missing two fingers in each hand, two toes in each foot. They're going to be missing a total of 48 limbs, and then I have 200. They'll have 200 bones. That's how you get to the case of chaser. That's how you get to matayim. All right, so then the 281, which is much harder to get to, is 248, which is the base. Now, we're going to see in a second that, according to the Gemara, the women have an additional five limbs, according to Rabbi Akiva. That would get you up to 253. Then Rashi says that we add an additional digit to each hand and foot. You add in an extra finger on each hand, an extra toe on each foot. That's four extra digits times six bones is 24. So if I take the 253 plus the 24, I get the 277. And then Rashi says, I give up. I don't know how they got any more. That's it. So I could get up to 277. I don't know how they got to 281. The Rabbeinu Gershom claims that in addition, when you have an extra digit in your hands and your toes, there's an additional bone in your hand and in your foot to attach them to. So not only are there six digits in the toes of the fingers, But there's also an additional bone in the hands and the foot to add that additional digit in there. And therefore, he gets into four additional bones that way and gets up to 281. So that's how you get to 281, and that's how we get to 200. The point being that even though they have more or less than the standard 248, the road is determined by 125, like road b'nei adam. I read Amr Shmuel. Masivet amidav shel Rabbi Yishmael. Sheshalku zona achat shenitchayva tzrifa l'melech. The zona was chayav mita. The king, the government, was put into debt by burning. So they figured that this was great for them. They could use this as an exercise in science, in dissection, and they could see what the limbs of a woman were. So after Jews and Jars Sefer, they went over and they took the body and they used it to count up the limbs. But they found 252 limbs. Against the 248 that we were speaking about, they found 252. Amar Lahem, the Rabbi Shmuel said to them when they did this count, they said, no, there's no 248, it has to be 252. The Shema B'Isha B'daktem says maybe it was a woman and not a man. So Sifla Katuv, Shnei Tzirim, Shnei Delkot. The woman has two additional hinges and two doorways. The two hinges seem to be the opening to the sexual organ, and the two Delkot are the openings to the womb. That she has some sort of closures in those areas, and that adds in the additional limbs here. It's clear they're not like limbs that we would discuss in the rest of the limbs, but it has to be talking about something that is cartilage, or hard cartilage that is mixed in there, and they look like bones, but they simulate bones, because we know that there are no additional bones, it's just that there's additional, probably cartilage, that look like or simulated bones. Tanya, Melozo, America, Shem, Shitzirim, Levayat, Kach, Shitzirim, Leisha. Just like they're hinges to a house, or hinges to a woman, Shenemar. Because it says by Eli, a Kohen, when he gets news of the capture of the Aron and that his sons have been killed in the war, one of his daughter-in-laws is pregnant and gives birth over there. She tore open and gave birth because, you know, Sireha in the Pashup Shah here is from Tzad, from the pangs, the pangs of the news and that had come about, she gave birth. But over here, the Gemara is saying seer, not to mean pain or anguish, but rather to mean seer hinges. So she gave birth because the hinges open, which implies that the woman does have hinges. Shua meher, kishim shatotot, abayam shatotot isha. Just like a house has doorways, so does the woman has doorways. Shenemar, kilo sagar, zeltei bitni. This is the yod, when he curses the day of his birth. He said that, unfortunately, my mother's doorways did not stay closed, and they allowed me to come out, implying that there are doorways to allow the fetus to exit, and then that there are doorways in a woman. Just like there's a key to enter the house, so too there's a key to enter the woman. And over here, he's adding in an additional item, I mean that this is where we get to the five additional for the woman, which is, Shenemar b'yitzachet rachma, Hashem opened up her womb. So Petzach is the Rachma, the womb. So Rabbi Akiva adds the additional item of the womb. So you have the womb, plus the Deltot, which are the doorways to the womb, plus the Tzirim, or the hinges, which are further down the birth canal, towards probably the beginning of the genitalia of the woman, and those would be the Tzirim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Kasha, the Talmidei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel's Talmidim counted 252. According to Rabbi Akiva, there should be 253. So Dilma, I did the Zutra, it's Mukhe Mitzma. Maybe because the womb was so small, it was consumed in the fire, and therefore they didn't catch that one, that additional item. So it's clear from here that it's not an actual bone, because otherwise it wouldn't have been consumed in the fire, unless it was tiny. But again, I think we're talking about organs, or things that are harder or cartilage, and that's why they were counting them as bones, even though they're not really bones.
The Achronim were troubled by the Ben Yehoyada says that forced them to be involved in this activity, and they just took advantage of the fact that they had to do it in order to count how many bones they should. Chassam Sofer and Chazanish deal with the Isser Hanami Mason.
From Rav, Mukulan, Amit Amiboel. And none of these, the additional five limbs in the woman, are not mitamei ba'ohel, even though they're considered evarim, she has 253 evarim. The tumat ohel is found in parchat pukat. Zod ha'tora adam ki yamud ba'ohel, dover shevet ha'pol adam. It has to be limbs that everybody contains, both males and females. So only the 248 are mitamei ba'ohel, these additional five are not mitamei ba'ohel. Kamar le'abai, yivinish lecha. Is it really true by a man that we don't have these hinges? When Yeshayahu was talking about the evil or the destruction which will come upon Babel, he says, Sirim Achazuni, the pangs that will grab me, Sirei Leda, like the pangs of giving birth. But again, the play on anguish and pain, they're using the word seer. So just like the woman has a seer, he compares that the man also has a sirim. That's why it says Sirei Basar. That's the sirim. Those are made out of flesh. They're not sirim like a limb. So again, that would distinguish the limbs by the woman as being not flesh, but something else. It doesn't have to be a bone necessarily. It could be cartilage. It could be something that is of a harder nature, just not flesh. Yeah, for sure. I think that by all these cases, most throughout, the literal meaning means anguish or pain. Also, even the terms that they're using, hinges and doors, are all allegorical for these body parts as well, which is not clear that the Pashtut is this way. Baktiv. It doesn't say in Daniel, Adoni b'mar'a nefkutzi, right? When Daniel sees the malach, he's frightened by the appearance of the malach. He says that, with your appearance, nefkutzi rai, my hinges turned over. So how can I be tzirei basar? Again, we'll say that the hinges here are not referring to those of Ivarim, but rather of basar flesh. How can I be basar? That makes sense. If you don't say this, how do we have anybody with 248 limbs? If you think the man also has hinges, then he has lo b'isha. Neither has 248 then. So it has to be someone has 248. There has to be a base case. That's man, which is the 248. And the woman has additional 5 that add up to the 253. Or yes, there be a double of. If he has additional digits, we saw in the Mishnah that there was a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim with regards to someone who has an extra digit on both hands and feet. I mean, there's 6 all around. Shehem Mikra Chatzar Shu, they only had the Pasuk in Shmuel Bet, talks about the phase of David HaMelech in his battle. It says, Vatehi Oz Milchva, there was an additional battle, Uktei Vahi Ish Madon. In the Pasuk it says, Etzba'ot Yadav, Etzba'ot Raglav, that's not Etzba, but Etzba'ot Yadav et Raglav, Sheish V'sheish, Etzrim Ba'arba V'mispar. He had 6 fingers and 6 toes, 24 in total. One of them thinks that the pasuk is saying that he was outrageous, outlandish, and that's what the pasuk is talking about. That it was time that even though he had these extra digits, they were still able to defeat him. And the question is, the pasuk saying that this outlandish person came about and they killed him, or is it saying that this person is, wow, look at this, he's a Superman. He's got 6 fingers on both hands. He's got 6 toes. He can battle even better. Nevertheless, he was still defeated. That's Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Makshir, who says that it was the Shevach, and Chachamim Mufassim would say that it's Lignai. Amar Rabba, Ma'li in the same Sheish V'Sheish, why does it tell the 6? It's 3 by 5, 24 in total. 3 we need it. Because of Rachmanah Sheish V'Sheish, because his Pasuk only said 6. How about me the Shitti day? V'Shitti Kare. I would have thought there was Shitti a day, V'Shitti Kare. 6 on one hand, and 6 on one foot. I would have thought 6 and 6 means he has one hand with an additional digit and one foot with an additional digit. Plus of it, 3 by 4. 24 is each year there was an additional digit on both hands and both feet. If it had been 3 by 4, if it had just been a 24, Abamina, Chamesh, Mahai Gisa, Vishepa, Mahai Gisa. I would have thought he had 5 fingers on one hand, 7 on the other. But I'm Shesh Vishesh to tell you that it's balanced. Mitzpar, Benitzper, Tagabiyad. What does the word Mitzpar come to teach you? That's the din of Rabbi Rakana, Rabbi Yochanan, that it has been counted along the line of the other digits. In order to be considered, I mean, it's not separate, it wasn't in a different location, but it was along the line of the other fingers or toes. Tanya, I'm reading the Master by the Machachabadi's name, Rabbi Karfum, Yetabiyaz, Ragla, who had these additional digits, Sheish, Sheish, Vesrim, Baharba. Amrlo, Kamotva, Yubebi, Israel. She had many more like you in Israel, which would imply that it was something that was positive. Amrlo, Rabbi Yosef, Misham, Rayo. I'm bringing proof in there. Kaka, Marlo, this is what he said. You only got half of what he said. Kamotva, Yismatru, Mamzirebi, Sne, Israel. Said, like you, we should reduce the number of Mamzerim and Yitinim in Israel. Rashi explains that we should have more like you. If someone was a Mamzer and an Atin, I hope they all have your distinguishing features. Because obviously, from the outside, no one can tell if someone's a Mamzer and an Atin. So here he says that you have some distinguishing feature, which I hope that all Mamzerim and Yitinim would have. That way we could identify them and people won't mix with them.
This guy was a Mamzer?
He's a Pasul. I don't know if he was saying to him, I hope all Pasulim look like you and are identifiable. Or he's saying that you are a Mamzer and I hope all Mamzerim look like you. I think it was probably the former, which is that just like you are a Pasul, I hope all Pasulim look like you, which is that they're identifiable. Shlevi say, is that someone's ambidextrous? Tarabanan. Iter, Bembe Yad Ben Beregel, Pasul. If you're a lefty, whether it's by hand or by foot, Pasul. The lefty is pasul the avodah. Hashalei b'shtei yadav. Someone who's ambidextrous. Rabbi posel. Rabbi says you pasul chameim makshirim. Mar sabar. What's the difference? Why is it machloket here? Ki chishuta talta b'yamin. That the reason that you're ambidextrous is because the right is starting to weaken, and that's why the left has gained strength. Mar sabar. The chameim who say that it's kasher. Say biryuta talta b'small. That the left strengthens. It doesn't detract from the strength of the right. Meaning that the strength of the left doesn't indicate a weakness in the right, whereas Rashi believes that strength in the left is already an indication that there's some sort of weakness in the right hand. Therefore, Rebbe looks at an ambidextrous almost like a lefty, whereas the Chachamim look at him as being independent. Each hand is independent. The right hand is functional, and therefore, it's good. And we learn that out both from the word etzba and kohen. Anytime the Torah says etzba and kohen, there's a demand for yamin. It must be on the right side. And we learn from the regal from Lamos to Sharet that you have to stand and do the shevut. Amidah should be like the amidah of most people. Most people extend their right leg first and then their left leg. That's what we have by mezuzah. There be atzah, the way you walk into the house. This is on the right side because you extend your right foot first as you come into the house. So therefore, someone who is a lefty, whether it is in the foot or hand, is patsul at the moment, patsul da avodah in the migdash. Just before this, Rishonim argue about whether either yad is an inherent soul. If you're lefty, you're automatically patsul. Or if the problem is that he doesn't do his avodah b'yamin. Is it because he's a lefty, he's a mole? Or is it because a lefty doesn't do the avodah with his right hand? In that his right hand is not strong enough, that's not where he would exercise. You're lacking right, which is the problem here. The possibility, it's not necessarily mukhrah, but the possibility is, according to those, that if the lefty worked with his right hand and was able to work with his right hand, it might be okay. But that's also not mukhrah, because you could say that is a demand for your stronger hand to do the avodah. So even if he could do it with his right hand, nevertheless, it wouldn't be good enough, because that's not a strong arm that is doing the avodah. Okay, next Mishnah. Hakushi, Hagihor, Halabkan, Vakapak, Vananak, Vakarish, Veshotel, Hashikor, Bale Negaim, Tomim, Tzulim, Adam, Shirim, Behemah. These are all problematic for an Adam, not problematic for Behemah. The Gemara will go through each of them. Hakushi, Gihor, Labkan, Akipeach, Vananak, we'll get all those in the Gemara. Akherish, and that's someone who is deaf and is mute. A shoteh, someone who is, doesn't have his faculties with him. A shikor, someone who's drunk. Ubala negayim torim, someone has a nega that is tahor, that it doesn't qualify, it's a bohe. It's a white nega on him, but it's not qualified to be a nega tamei. The tamei, of course, can't enter the azara, I can't even get into the azara. But here they have a nega tahor, it's a mum. Now these are all problematic for people, but not problematic for animals. Shimon Meir, shoteh min a beima, eno min a mukar. True, shoteh by beima, an animal that doesn't have its full faculties with it, even though you can bring it as a korban, that's not the best type of korban to bring. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Afbalei Hadal Gulim. Rashi's girsa here is Hadal Gulim, which is Sulim Badam Shem Beima, which are pieces of flesh or basar that are hanging off the individual by a person. That's the problem of a mum. By Behema, that is not problematic. Now the American explains. Kushi means ukma, black. It's a very dark complexion. Gichor, Chibra, is either it's a very light complexion or he has white spots on him. Labkan is sumka. Rashi says sumka is rouge, is red. He has either, again, a reddish complexion or red spots on him. Ini, the Gemara says, is that really true? Baha, damarlu, manboyi, lufkiani. Who wants a lufkiani? He's selling this. He's falling out in the shop. Who wants to buy a lufkiani? Bishakak, and they went and checked his Chibra. They found out that it was a white animal that he was selling. It was a white spotted animal or a white animal that he was selling. So obviously Lufkiani is not what we thought being red or reddish complexion, but rather white. Ella, we have to redefine these. Kushi is Ukma again. Kushi is a very black or dark complexion. Gikor is Sumka. Now we change Gikor to be the reddish complexion. And Kamri Inche Sumka Gihya. And that's the expression, the normal expression of people is that a Sumka is a Gihya. And Lapkan is Fibra. And Lapkan in the Mishnah is the white spider, the whitish complexion. Kaudamaru, Manbayalu, Kanyani. That was what we saw before. But in the Shuk, Ishtaka Fibra, and we saw that they were white. Those are the first three things in the Mishnah. Kipeah, what's the Kipeah? Tani Rabbid, Gvoha. He's tall. Is that really true? Tani Rabbi Yavu, Minayin Shabbat Barak, Shabbat and Balei Koma. Hashem loves very tall people. Shemar, Banuki, Shmadati, Ethem, Morim, Yiknehem. I wiped out the Amori from before them. I shared to Gova Arazim Gavo. That their height or their stature is like that of the Arazim, like the cedars. The cedars are very tall trees. So you see that Hashem is taking praise in the fact that he destroyed those very tall people. Which means that being tall is a virtue. Amra Papa, as the case is here, it's Barika Shmita Sanyo. The case where he's very tall, but his BMI, body mass index, is off. Which is that he's very tall, but his heft or his width does not conform to his height. So that he's very tall, he's lanky, tall and lanky, skinny. He does not have the proportionate heft that would come with the height. And that's where it's problematic. That's where it's different. So it's not necessarily about the absolute height. It has to do with the height relative to the proportion of the body. Okay, next, and then the nanat, his last one is the midget, which is also problematic. And now the American, a very tall individual should not marry a tall woman. Because maybe it will come out of them a mess. Toran is the mass of the ship, the middle pole of the ship, which is very, very tall. So they shouldn't marry because you might have extremely tall kids that are outrageously tall, meaning that they're not normal. Now, not what you said in Esset. Midget shouldn't marry a midget test. Shema Yitim Ham Esbai. Because maybe they'll get an Esbai, which would be a super midget. Lavan lo yisa levana. Someone who is very white in complexion shouldn't marry someone else who is white in complexion. Shema Yitim Ham Bohak. Because then you'll get the super white individual. The Bohak is the color of a Nega that is not a Tameh, but it's a very white color. Shachor lo yisa Shkora. Someone with a very, very dark complexion shouldn't marry someone else with dark complexion. Shema Yitim Ham Bohak. Because maybe they'll get a black as a kettle offspring that comes out of them.
Where are you talking here about Kohen?
These Mumim are for Kohenim. Over here, this Rishlok seems to be advice to people in general, that if you have something that is extreme in an individual, they shouldn't marry someone else with that same extreme, because then you'll just get even more extreme. They should have some balance. They should marry someone with balance, so that it will balance out the extremes of the individual. Would depend. The genetics will determine whether you'll really get a mix or you'll end up with one or the other. Not necessarily, doesn't necessarily work. Acher is Meshoteva Shikur. Shikur Makil Abudah. Wait a minute. How could Shikur, a drunk, be listed over here? We're saying a drunk over here. These are Mumim HaShaviv Zer Shalaron. The problem is that they're not equal to all people, and that's a Mum because they're outside of what's considered to be normal. But we know that these are makil avodah. They don't. If a person who has these does avodah, he doesn't ruin the avodah. It's not to ruin the avodah. Shikur, the Torah tells us, is batil ben akosh ben akol. And if shikur does avodah is avodah. It's kulin. Where it says v'hadi mumei temichile avodah. By the mechshav, it should be shikur should be listed in those mumim that are problematic because they're makil avodah. V'shar dvarim amishakrim uzlok Rav Yehuda. Talking about other things that make you drunk, except outside of wine. The drunks that we're talking about, where Masala Bodah, then they get drunk from wine. Where he's inebriated from wine, there is the problem of Masala Bodah. And not like Rabiuda. Rabiuda disagrees. Rabiuda says that anything that intoxicates you is problematic. Now, even though there's a few mitah for being intoxicated, inebriated from wine, nevertheless, there is a lab that is associated with other items. And according to Musa, all of them are Makhil Avodah. Any one of those will ruin the Avodah. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe it's only wine. It's limited to wine. That problem is limited to wine. The Tanya, Akal Velak Ti'ili, if he ate a pile of pressed dates from this place, Ti'ili, which is intoxicating. Veshatach halab odavash, or drank milk or honey. But these are in mixtures where they ferment and they have this intoxicating nature to them. Nechnas the mikdash chayav, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda said, that if you go into the mikdash, you're still chayav in that case. And therefore, he associates intoxication with that of wine and any other item. They're the same, they're similar. Again, one of them is chayav mitzah, one of them is only chayav alav, but nevertheless, they have the same outcome, which is the makal avodah. So our Mishnah will not be according to Rabbi Yehuda, but according to the Chachamim, who say that intoxication outside of wine is problematic, because both Shaviv is their shalaron, but it's not problematic in terms of being makil avodah. Right now, the Mishnah is the opposite. Just now, we had all the lists of mumim that apply to man and not to behema. Now we have the other way around. These are not problematic by adults, but are problematic by an animal. That you can't check the mother and the child on the same day. Treifa, which is problematic by the most, not by adam. Or a cesarean section, which is not kosher for korbanos, but will not disqualify someone from being a kohen. Now, this is another category. One person who marries a woman that he is otherwise precluded from marrying, That he's not allowed to do avoda until he takes a nether to never be together or marry this woman. Someone, a Kohen who is metameh lemitim, which also disqualifies him. So he accepts upon himself not to do that anymore. Now he's married. And I just ran through it. But I understand how that applies to Behema. But has Oto Behbino applied to human beings? Elay Marun Banav. So what are you going to say? Sarona Banav, you can't have a father and son. You would think a father and son couldn't serve in the Mikdash together. The Kabate, the equivalent by an animal would be Kayish Ubino. It would be a male, a father, and his child. Minoi. There's no such thing as Oto Behbino with a father and a child. Batani, Oto Behbino, and Ekinikibo, then I have to Saharit. Applies to mother, not to father. Ella, what it must be, say yes, shall be not. So he had a mother and her son. The Kabbalah, Papa, over here, what would be the equivalent by a human being? Kohenet, Ubinah. It'd be a mother Kohen, a Kohenet with her son. Kohenet, Batabodahi. What's the question here? A woman doesn't do Avodah in the Mikdash anyway, so why wouldn't you even have a Havamina that's Pasul? So long, Aron Ubinah. The Kabbalah, Papa, that's equivalent by Behema is Taish Ubinah. Because I'm Raymond Rabba, which made the Ryotib Rabin, Adam Ram, Chananya. That the author of this mission is Chananya, who we saw back in Chulin. Tanya, Oto Behbino, Nehek Benekebot, Nehek Bitzcharim, which is the position of the Chachamim. Chananya Omer, Nehek Bitzcharim, Unekebot. Chananya is the opinion that it applies to fathers as well. Since it applies to fathers as well, you can have that equivalent over here of our own Uvanav. Manosena Shim, Ve'aveira, Tana. No there, but obeyed your raving regulation. If he takes the nether, he's allowed to go up in his bath, do the avoda, and then only divorce her when he comes back down. Well, let's say maybe he'll go be matir nether. How can we be sure that he's going to divorce this woman? And where it says, he holds that you have to, in order to get ahead of the chacham, you have to explain the nether. If he explains the nether, the chacham won't be matir, because he'll know that it's problematic. That works well according to one of the says when you go to get Hataras and Darim, you have to actually list out the nether, explain the nether itself. But mother ain't very comprehensive nether. According to one of the says you don't have to. You can do a general Hataras and Darim. My son, Maymar. The Madrina lay the Rabim. He took a nether in public. So I need for the mother and nether, Shudar, Rabim, and Noah Farah. One who, if you take a nether, Rabim, it's impossible to undo it. Elba, the mother, Yeshua, Farah. But what about the one there is someone who says you can undo it? My son, Maymar. And the Rina lay Adat Rabim. It did a nether of that Rabim. The nether of that Rabim, Kuliyama says that a nether of that Rabim, it has no head there. The Mamemar Hilkasa, the law is that the Lamandamar Nether Shu Darbar, and Yishla Farah. Even according to one who says, if you took a public nether, you're allowed to get a third in Darim and do Afarah on it. Adat Rabim ain't no Afarah. If you take Adat Rabim, there is no nullification of it or no Hatarat in Darim that can be done with it. The animal is the Bar Rishut. That's only if it's for your personal benefit. About the bar mitzvah, you go abara. But if it's for a mitzvah, you can't do abara in the rain. See? How the mikre dadake, it was this teacher of children, Adre Rabaka. Rabaka forced him to give up his job to kapasha binoke, because he was too rough on the kids. Rashi said, malakeo tamu mitim. He hit them so hard that they died. I don't know if it has to be that far, but he was abusive towards the children. But then in the end, Adre Ravina. In the end, Ravina was master of the nether, the washcraft, Abedai Kibate. Nobody could teach the children as well as he did, and therefore they brought him back into service. The interesting here is that Ravina Thompson, how does it work? Of that Ravim? Says because when you take a nether of that Ravim, you're doing it based on the public or the heads of the community, that. And therefore there's no authority to their aim because you're not going to get consensus for them to be material nether. They don't want to be material nether. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, by a mitzvah, that won't be the case. Omer Rodin, I'm assumed that it's somewhat nechel who the rabbi. It's nechel who the rabbi in order to do a tzad nederim. So that rabbim, I know the phrase of that pony, a pony, but people should love it to him. About that rabbim, stam, love kumhu. Now, he also mentioned that that rabbim, you have to specify the leaders of the community that you're taking this nether with. Can't just be that I do it on that rabbim, stam. It has to specify the leaders. But then, if the leaders can come to a consensus that there's a reason to be matir nether for a mitzvah, then you could be matir the nether. Last thing is, Maishna Hoka. By the case of Mitzameh Meitim, we can say he has to be Mekabel himself not to do it. So Maishna Hoka then is Sagile Mekabela. That's enough just to accept it, and then he can go do a Voda. Shrai Hoka. Why over there, by the marrying the inappropriate women, he has to take a nether, Madrinimus? Answer is, that's what Yisro talks about. Big difference is the Yisra. By Erva, there's a Yisra, strong Yisra. Therefore, he has to take a nether in order for us to be sure that he won't go back. But Mitzameh Meitim, there's not such a strong Yisra for that. Therefore, if he's Mekabel, we accept that Kabbalah. Okay, we'll stop over here.